The other day, I had another dangerous question. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could know and see how the Blessed Mother herself, the Queen of Purgatory, prays for the souls in purgatory and learn from her how to do it to have her coach us herself? That would be amazing. Guess what? I found it. And there are so many treasures there that it will blow your mind. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, we will go through first some of the specific things that she did, some of her own prayers, an example from when she was praying for someone who was about to go into hell so that we can learn from that how to pray for the souls in purgatory. And then in the Blessed Mother's words herself, what she would tell us in an especial manner. Her maternal kindness exhibited itself to those who were in the agony of death, for she attended many of the dying and would not leave them until they had secured their eternal salvation. For those who went to purgatory, she offered up most fervent prayers and performed some works of penance, such as prostrations in the form of a cross, genuflections, and other exercises by which she satisfied for their faults. Now, first, let's unpack some of this little by little to get all the riches that are here. What does the word fervent mean? It's related to the word fever, and it comes from the Latin to boil. So we can imagine that the Blessed Mother is on fire and that her prayers are more intense than the fires of purgatory. And you can have this image in your mind. Remember the video that I made about asking for graces from the Blessed Mother through the miraculous medal, to ask for the grace to pray more intensely than purgatory. And it logically makes sense. If we're going to release souls from purgatory, we have to pray hotter than that. It has to be more intense. And in some other video, I talk about the temperature of purgatory because it's traditionally spoken of as in the center of the earth. And it's like 11,000 degrees Celsius and 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. I'll put the temperature right here. We must pray hotter than this, boiling, most fervent prayers, not fervent, but most fervent prayers. And we can only do this through grace, by asking for her to give us a grace. What else does fervent mean? It means with intensity and with intense emotion. We cannot sustain this on our own. She received grace upon grace to get to this level, to continuously pray with intense emotion, with intense fire, metaphorically speaking. We need to ask for many, many graces to be layered on us so that we could get to that level of prayer. And she wants us to pray like this, not for our sake, not for her sake, but for their sake, the sake of the souls in purgatory. Because if we pray like her, we will empty purgatory incredibly quickly. Now, touching on the works of penance. Now, you could presumably see that she's praying fervently, most fervently, and doing works of penance at the same time. Now, this is in this book, The Mystical City of God. You see this all the time. When the Blessed Mother is praying, she prostrates herself on the ground. This is something that I think we have probably completely lost. We only see it in religious ceremonies and the ordination of a priest or a deacon or those that are making vows as religious men and women. But all of us need to do this because she does this all the time. This is in her utter self-humiliation. She prostrates herself in the form of a cross. Memorize this way of praying. She prayed with her entire body, not just mind and lips, her entire body completely given into it. She also would do genuflections and other exercises by which she satisfied for their faults. So we can ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit to ask him, what are the faults that we need to satisfy, and then do the according exercise of penance along with most fervent prayers. Now listen to what she does next. Then she sent one of her angels in order to draw them from purgatory and present them to her Son in heaven as his own and as the fruits of his blood and redemption. She is constantly in all types of different scenes, including this one, calling all the angels, calling on specific angels. So this is going to take something that we're going to have to learn through experience, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, asking our guardian angels, the guardian angel of the person that we're praying for in purgatory, and any other angel that makes sense to call upon, to both help us to pray for them, to send them to intercede for them, to send them to give them assistance and relief, and to draw them out of purgatory. Specifically, we could call upon Saint Michael the Archangel, who is the chief angel of purgatory. This happiness the Queen of Heaven procured to many souls during her stay upon earth, and as far as was made known to me, this favor is not denied in our days to those who during their earthly life dispose themselves properly for meriting her presence, as I have written in another place. But since it would be necessary to extend the scope of this history very much, if I were to describe how the Most Blessed Mary assisted many in the hour of death, I cannot dilate upon this matter. I will recount only one incident in which she freed a girl from the jaws of the infernal demon. It is one which is so extraordinary and worthy of the attention of us all that it would not be right to omit it in this history or deprive ourselves of the lesson it contains. Now, summarizing what happens, this was one of the early disciples of Jesus, and she was deceived by Satan, who appeared to her in the form of a woman, convincing her that the apostles and the Blessed Mother were evil and that they were liars. And so she began leaving Jesus and is being led into hell, and then the Blessed Mother begins interceding. She first sends the Apostle John, who is unable to convert her, and then listen what she does next. The kind mother bewailed this simple sheep, thus deceived by the bloodthirsty infernal wolf, and prostrate upon the floor, she prayed for her rescue. That is together all the time, like peanut butter and jelly, like anything else that always goes together. She prays and is prostrate almost always and in every scene, and it is something that we should discern ourselves to do as well. But the Lord answered not a word to the petition of his Blessed Mother, not because her petition was disagreeable to him, but for the contrary reason, and because he was pleased with her clamors, pretending deafness in order to hear them so much the longer. So as he did to her, he will do to us. And now we know that when God is silent to our petitions, it is because he wants to hear them longer. He wants to intensify our prayer. It is actually a way to call us to greater prayer, to make us want it even more. Later on, it says, proceeding thus prudently, she dispatched one of her angels to bring aid to that soul by defending it against the devil and exhorting it by holy inspirations to forsake his deceits and return to God. Again, she uses the angels all the time. So we cannot intercede for the souls in purgatory alone. We must call upon our patron saints, our favorite saints, the Blessed Mother, God's grace, and the angels. They have an essential role to play in the intercession for the souls in purgatory. Here are some more words from the Blessed Mother. She would not yield in what she had merited for all of us and what she teaches. Retiring once more to pray for the salvation of that erring soul, she prostrated herself upon the ground, listen again, and said, "My Lord and God of mercy, behold here this vile wormlet of the earth." Listen to those words, wormlet. She calls herself a worm. Where have we heard that? We have heard that in a very particular place. The fourth word from the cross that Jesus prayed, Psalm 22 in the fifth verse, where he says, "I'm a worm and not a man." He completely humiliates himself, and he enters into that humiliation willingly and gladly. And she is literally imitating Jesus and how he prayed from the cross. Isn't that amazing that the same intensity that Jesus prayed on the cross, that's how she prays for the souls in purgatory and for those who are about to be lost? To see the Blessed Mother pray would be the most spectacular vision, the most beautiful thing that we could ever see on earth, because she is perfectly imitating Jesus. It continues. Listen to what she says. Chastise and afflict me, but let me not see this soul, which was marked as one of the first fruits of thy blood and is now deceived by the serpent, become the spoil of his malice and of his hatred against thy faithful. The most blessed Mary continued for some time in this petition, but she received no answer from the Lord, in order that her invincible heart and her charity toward her neighbor might be put to the proof. When we are praying, we are being, as you know, attacked by our own laziness, our own slothness, our own slowness, by the lies that the devil tries to attack us with, the arrows of the enemy. So we must ask for the grace to have an invincible heart, a heart that cannot be defeated, so that we can continue praying. Now, once she actually converts the woman, this is what happens. After the rescue of that soul, the rest of the angels brought back their queen, seated on the same cloud, to her oratory. It happened that she was going to go to that woman, and the angels refused to let her walk, and so they came and brought her on a cloud, seated like on a throne, to that woman, because that's how much they love the Blessed Mother. Now listen to what she does next. She immediately humiliated herself, prostrating herself and adoring the Lord, and giving him thanks for having snatched that soul from the jaws of the infernal dragon. She composed thereon a hymn of praise in his honor. This wonder was wrought by the wisdom of God, in order that the angels, the saints of heaven, the apostles, and also the demons might know the resistless power of Most Holy Mary, and in order that they might learn that she was a mistress of all. So not all of them together could equal her in power, that nothing would ever be denied to her prayers in favor of those who loved her, served her, or called upon her. So we should be extremely firmly convinced, even more now, of the intense intercessory power of the Blessed Mother. Now, final parting words from the Blessed Mother herself. At the end of each chapter, as I've told you before, she gives always an instruction to Blessed Mary of Agreda. She says this: My daughter, since in this chapter thou hast particularly learnt of the matchless and bitter sorrow with which I bewailed the perdition of souls, thou thyself must learn also what thou must do for the salvation of thy own and that of others, in order to imitate me in the perfection which I require of thee. No torment nor death itself would I have refused, if such had been necessary to save any of the damned. And to save them, I would have esteemed all sufferings a sweet alleviation in my most ardent charity. Hence, if thou dost not die of this kind of sorrow, thou art at least not excused from willingness to suffer all that the Lord sends thee for advancing this cause, or from praying and laboring all in thy power to prevent any sin in thy neighbor. And when thou canst not at all at once obtain thy object, or dost not know whether the Lord has heard thee, do not lose confidence, but enliven it, and persevere in thy efforts, for such a solicitude can never displease him who desires the salvation of all his redeemed more than thou. If nevertheless thou art not heard in thy prayers, make use of the means which prudence and charity require, and return anew to thy prayers. The Most High is always attracted by the sort of charity for the neighbor, and by the love which seeks to hinder sin. He desires not the death of the sinner, and as thou hast written, he does not entertain an absolute and antecedent decree of damning his creatures, but seeks to save them all, if they do not pursue perdition of their own free will. Although he permits this in his justice as being inseparable from the free will of man, it is against his inclination. Do not restrict thyself in these petitions and in those concerning temporal things. Pray that his holy will be done in all that is proper. We must pray as intensely as the Blessed Mother. Again, not for our sake, not for hers, but for the sake of the souls in purgatory. That's what she wants. This is what she wants, to imitate her perfectly. And if she wants this, we can ask for the grace, and she, who is incredible, and God can do all things through her intercession, she will grant it to us. I will see you in the next one.